This is the Sunday School Lesson Review for this, the second day of September in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2012. This is Trinity Baptist Church, Greensboro, High Point, Guilford County, North Carolina, and the world, and wherever man is found, and ministering to you through and by the power of the Holy Ghost is Pastor Clarence William Page. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The reading begins at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Dear friends, let's read that once again. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 25. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. The Sunday school topic we are using today. And for a golden text, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, which reads, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And as an overview, in case some of you do not choose to stay with us for the entirety of this Sunday school lesson, I want to highlight the topic, that it may be well with thee, and the golden text, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. As an overview, I, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, say unto you that serving God is not difficult. Deciding to do so may be an issue for you if you are deciding on your own. But bringing to bear the power of Almighty God through his word and through the Holy Ghost, through the very Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord, one is able to be righteous in serving the Lord. For we are told in the golden text, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, "And it shall be our righteousness." The question is, who is righteous? The person that is righteous certainly is one who is saved and does the will of God. If you claim to be saved and do not obey the word of God, that does not indicate your righteousness. That is not indicative of your righteousness. There are those of you who would protest that, well, I was told that once saved, always saved. I was told that I have liberty in Jesus Christ, and that I can do anything I want to do as long as I do it believing that I'm right. The word of God, my friend, has not changed in terms of what's righteous. Even for those of us who are saved, our righteousness is in Christ. Our doings are to be according to the word of God. Why would you claim to be in Christ and yet think you can do evil? As a matter of fact, why, if you're in Christ and he is in you, would you even want to do evil? Why would you even want to disobey Almighty God if you are submitted to him in his Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his own blood on Calvary's cross for you? And so, we should not claim to be righteous if we are walking contrary to the word of God. There are those who would protest, well, my pastor preaches all the time that we are dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that what we do doesn't matter because we are dressed in His righteousness, and God looks at us through the blood of Jesus. And indeed, we, if we are saved, those of us who are saved, we are not dressed in our own righteousness as it respects salvation. But God expects us to live the life of righteousness in obedience to His word. And so if you are saying that you can claim to be Jesus' child and to be a servant of Jesus, but do whatever evil you want to do, you are making a mistake. For you see, the Holy Spirit does not lead us to disobey God. The Holy Spirit does not lead us to disobey God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ does not lead us to disobey God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ does not lead us to disobey God. And there are those of you who would say, yeah, but I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that, and I needed to do it because of my unique situation. And I will say to you that any disobedience to God is not of God. God is not divided, and God would not lead you to disobey Him. Jesus always did the will of His Father. He said as much in the New Testament. He said, I do always the will of my Father, and He Himself is God. If anybody had the right to take license and do otherwise, it would be Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And if Jesus did not take license and do otherwise, but He did always the will of His Father, which is in heaven, you have no right to take license and act contrary to the will of God. I have no right to take license and act to the contrary of God's will and God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as this Sunday school lesson is studied, let's begin to read some of the words of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. The children of Abraham, the children of Israel, were on their way to the promised land. And God is teaching them, He is preparing them and letting them know that He is being kind and merciful and graceful to them, that His providential care is leading them on their way, that He is shepherding them. But He is commanding them, not suggesting, not saying that it would be a good idea, but He is giving ironclad commands. In other words, God is not saying, think about doing this or consider doing this, but God is saying, do this. This is what you do. This is what God says do. And so it is today, even in the dispensation of grace, God has told us what we ought to do. They are not suggestions. They are not relative to what we think, nor are they relative to our situations. But God has said, do them. And if we want it to be well with us, we must do them. For that is one of the things that we will see that Moses told the children of Israel as they were on their way to the promised land. Moses told them that they should do it and that it would be well with them. He said that it may be well with thee. Now, is that the reason for doing it, that it may be well with you? That's a result of doing it. The reason for doing it is because God said do it. Because God commanded that it be done. The result of obeying the commandment of God was then and is now that it may be well with thee. If it isn't well with you, my friend, it may simply be because you are not doing the commandments of God. What do you mean, Paige? It may simply be because you have some other God before God. It may simply be because you are not obeying or honoring your father and your mother. It may simply be because you are stealing. It may simply be because you are killing. It may simply be because you are committing adultery. It may be simply because you are covetous. It may simply be because you are lying, bearing false witness on your neighbor. These things cause the wrath of God to come upon the children of disobedience. There are those of you who would protest, Reverend, those are Old Testament commandments. We are now in the New Testament. Those commandments, Reverend, do not apply to us. My pastor is Reverend Dr. So-and-so, and he has assured us that our blessings in God are not contingent, are not based on the works. He said we are saved by the operation of grace and faith. And he says that the old law is no longer in force. And I understand, my friend, what your pastor may be saying, but I'm afraid your pastor forgot to tell you that in Jesus Christ we are not free from the righteousness which is in the law. In other words, we are not delivered from sin to sin. That is, God did not save us that we might sin, but he saved us that we might walk righteously before him. We are not saved into sin, but we're saved out of sin. We're not saved from death into death, but we're saved from death into life. There is a definitive difference between death and life. There is a definitive difference between sin and righteousness. But concerning your protests, where you are saying, well, Reverend, you say that we must do this in order for it to be well with us, but Reverend, we don't teach that in our church anymore. We teach the liberty that we have in Christ. We teach that we are free and that we are not going to be lost because we don't do the Old Testament law. I call your attention, my friend, to a New Testament scripture. I call your attention to a New Testament scripture. It is true that just by doing the law does not make us righteous. One can do the righteousness that is said in the Ten Commandments, I assume. Paul taught that. However, if you don't have any other God before you, more than likely you're going to be right in God's sight. More than likely you're going to be right in God's sight. But the righteousness that was in the law as the standard for righteousness by itself has been superseded by the righteousness which is in Jesus Christ. We must be in Jesus. Just to be in the law today is not good enough. So your pastor would be correct if he were to say that just being in the law is not good enough. He or she would be correct, for being just in the law is not good enough. One must be in Jesus Christ. One must be in Jesus Christ. The law by itself is not good enough. But I say unto you that the commandments of the Ten Commandments, the righteousness that is in the Ten Commandments, we are not delivered from the righteousness that is in the Ten Commandments. What do you mean, Pastor Page? It sounds like you are being contradictory. No, my friend, I'm not being contradictory. I am saying that our righteousness as respects salvation is in Jesus Christ. But I am also saying that the righteousness that was in the law, we are expected to not only live up to it, but if we're in Christ, we ought to supersede it. If you're only living the righteousness that's in the law and you're in Christ, I think you ought to check your salvation. But getting back to your protest where you said that what we find in the Ten Commandments is no longer applicable, I call your attention to the New Testament. If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 in the New Testament. Those of you who are protesting that we no longer have to worry about anything in the old law because we're in Christ. There are some of you who would protest and say we no longer have to worry about anything in the old law, in the Ten Commandments, because now we're in Christ. He is our righteousness. Well, he is our righteousness, but we are still expected to not only live up to, but to exceed the righteousness that is in the Ten Commandments. If you are living below the righteousness that is in the Ten Commandments, you truly have a problem. If you are living below the righteousness that is in the Ten Commandments, you have a serious spiritual problem. But let's look now at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, let's begin reading at verse 7. Romans chapter 13. This is particularly for those of you who are saying that the Ten Commandments, the righteousness that's in them, no longer applies to us because we're in Jesus Christ. Well, this is a man, the man who is writing, was specially chosen by Jesus Christ to carry the gospel and specially chosen to write the word of God in Scripture. So let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about that. Romans chapter 13, beginning reading at verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 10. And there are those of you who say, see, Reverend, it says love. But my friend, don't be foolish. Paul took the time to let you know that within love are the requirements that you not commit adultery. Within love is the requirement, the commandment that you not kill. In love is the commandment that you not steal. In love is the commandment that you not bear false witness. In love is the commandment that you not covet. Extract it specifically from the Ten Commandments. And so these are the things the Ten Commandments say that we ought to do concerning our neighbor, concerning all people on planet Earth. And so when you want to tell me, well, the old law does not apply to us, let me ask you a question. What is Paul saying here in Romans chapter 13, verse 9? Paul brings these specifically from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Paul brings these specifically from the Old Covenant into the New Covenant. The vessel in which he transports them is the vessel of love. We are commanded to love. The elements, the requirements in love is that we not commit adultery. The elements, the requirements in love is that we not kill. The elements, the requirements in love are that we not steal. The elements, the requirements in love is that we not bear false witness. The elements, the requirements in love is that we not covet. And Paul goes on now to say, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Perhaps your pastor told you that love is the fulfilling of the law, but your pastor may have not told you that this love has to do with not committing adultery, with not killing, with not stealing, with not bearing false witness, with not coveting. And so you cannot have the fulfillment of the law in love without the elements of not committing adultery, not killing, not stealing, not bearing false witness, and not coveting. I think that's very clear. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Let's go now back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's, we read verse 1. Let's read verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thou days may be prolonged. You want to live long? Keep the commandments of Almighty God. Keep the commandments of Almighty God. The devil won't like it. He will try to kill you. But the way to live long is to keep the commandments of Almighty God. Let me read that again for you. Let me read that again for you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. My friend, wherever you are in the world, I encourage you to read these words over and over and over again. This is the first covenant, and yes, the second covenant supersedes the first covenant. We are in the dispensation of grace now. But as I showed you in Romans chapter 13, verse 9, this righteousness that was in the law has not been cast aside. We see that Paul brought it specifically into the New Testament, as we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 9. God commands them to keep all the statutes and commandments, and we are still commanded to fully obey God, to obey all of his word, not part of it, to obey all of his word. You say, well, Reverend, now in the Old Testament, there's a lot that does not apply. And there are things in the Old Testament that were for the Old Testament. We must rightly divide the word of God. Well, how do I do that, Reverend? By obeying his word, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study the word of God. You need to have study sessions in your house, studying the Holy Bible. You need to go to Bible-believing churches where they believe the authenticity of the word of God. You need to be in those kinds of Bible-studying classes so that you will know his word. Satan does not want you to know the word of God. Do you know that's one reason Satan gives you other things to focus on? Because he knows you only have so much time. And he knows that God has commanded you to obey all of his word. But Satan knows that as long as you do not know the word of God, he can trick you, trip you up, and trick you and fool you. He can steal from you. He can kill you, and he can destroy you because you do not know the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God gives the reason. He said, "Hear now, do what God says, that it may be well with thee." It is not well with some of you. With some of you, it is not well with your neighborhood. It is not well with your family. It is not well with your community. It is not well with your town. It is not well with your city. It is not well with your state. It is not well with your country. And why? Because you are not doing the will of God. And you may say, well, we are an historically Christian nation. Maybe your granddaddy did the will of God. And maybe your daddy did the will of God. And maybe it was well with them. But you've gotten away from the will of God, the word of God, the way of God. And it is not well with you. And it will not be well with you until you come back to the word of God. And if it is not well with you, more than likely, it is not well with your son, because you are not teaching your son the word of God. And more than likely, it will not be well with your son's son, because you have not taught your son, and your son is not teaching his son. But Moses mentions, through the Holy Spirit, not only you, but your son and your son's son. Where is that, Reverend? Well, let's read once again. Verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You do right, and you teach your son to do right, and you teach your son to teach his son to do right, all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Do not become complicit in the sins of your son. And do not become complicit in the sins of your grandson. Because it will not be well with you. You must do right. You must teach your son to do right. And your son's sons must be taught to do right all the days of your life. Is it not well with you? Is it not well with you? Is it not well with you? You need to study quickly and completely. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read in verse 3 again. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. There are those of you who are saying, well, the Lord has promised me this, and the Lord has promised me that. This verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, clearly indicates that your disobeying God can cancel the performance of God's promise. God promised them, but if their children didn't do right, the promise would not manifest during the time of those disobedient children. God's promises are secure and they are sure. But we are told that you obey God so that the promise manifests in your life. That's the way I read it. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. In other words, God has made his promises, and they are wonderful promises, but they must obey. Hear therefore, observe to do it, that, you see this word that, that it may be well. Why should I do it? That it may be well with you. Why should I do it? That ye may increase mightily. Why should I do it? That in that land that the floweth with milk and honey. You do it because by so doing, you will release into your lives the blessings of Almighty God. When you obey Almighty God, you release into your life his blessings. Some of you have the promise. Your granddaddies were promised because they were praying men. Your grandmother was promised because she was a praying woman. And she prayed for her children and for her children's children. And your family has a great Christian legacy in that place where you live. And yet you don't seem to be being blessed. And God promised it to your ancestors. And it may be all because you are not doing what God said do. His promise is there, but they are not manifesting in your life because you are disobeying God. Let me read this again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And some of you would protest, well, I do all kinds of good things. I go out, I volunteer, I help people. I help people get their rights and this and that. And I don't see why things aren't better for me. Simply because you are leaning to your own understanding and you are doing that which your culture and which the philosophy of your world says makes the difference, but you're not doing what Almighty God said do. In other words, you are doing good according to what man says, but you are not doing good according to what God says, and that's why the blessings of God, which were promised to your foreparents, are not manifesting in your life because you are obeying man. You're obeying this culture. You're obeying this world. You have adopted the philosophy of this world. And you have discarded the word of God. And you are running yourself ragged, trying to help people in this world. You are a do-gooder. And you cannot understand why things are not better for you. The understanding simply is you have discarded the word of God. And you have adopted humanism. You have adopted secular humanism. You have adopted the philosophy that if I build somebody a house, that's good. If I give somebody some money, that's good. If I tell somebody they have the right to love whomever they want to love, they have the right to show their love. If I tell two men that they have the right to marry, if I tell two women they have the right to love each other in marriage, you say you're doing all that. You say you are a very diverse person and you don't understand why things are so bad in your life because God never said that. God says, yes, we are to give to people. We are to help people. But you have adopted the philosophy of this world. You are saying to girls who got pregnant, go out and get abortions. And you're wondering, you are trying to show you are for them. You are trying to show that you are compassionate your way. You are trying to show that you understand. You are trying to empathize. And you have surmised that by empathizing, that is righteousness. Empathy is good when the empathy is according to the word of God. But when your empathy is in opposition to the word of God, that empathy is wrong. And you're wondering why you're not being blessed. Well, to some extent, you're being blessed by man. According to his ability to bless you, he affirms you and says you're a good person and says you're somebody who's on board, you're in the group, but you're not being blessed by God. In other words, you've made man, your God, and you're being blessed by the small G-O-D man who thinks himself God because he has also thrown and cast aside the word of God. But the real true blessings, which are in your family's lineage through prayer, are not manifesting in your life because you have cast aside the faith. The authentic faith of your great-granddaddy and the authentic faith of your great-grandmother, the authentic faith of your granddaddy, the authentic faith of your grandmother, and you have adopted another God, small G-O-D, the God of man. And it is not well with you, and it will not be well with you until you come back to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is not well with you, and it will not be well with you until you come back to the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, until you come back and learn his word, till you come back and accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and do those things which are commanded in his word, then it will be well with you. Then it will be well with you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. We will continue this lesson next Sunday, God be willing, next Sunday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time in the United States of America, our Sunday school lesson. Keep in mind that the topic for today, that it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who've taken the time to listen. Thank you, Father, for those who not only listened but have heard. Thank you, Father, for those who not only have listened but have heard, but who have decided to follow Jesus, who have decided that they're going to do whatever your word says do. Oh God, have mercy in the name of God the Father. Have mercy in the name of God the Son. Have mercy in the name of God, the blessed Holy Ghost. Have mercy in the precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, amen, amen. This has been the Sunday school lesson for this, the second day of September, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2012, as reckoned by our calendar. This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page.